Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Device, you don't have to do that because we've got a podcast. But if you have a pen and a paper, or you just type fast on your phone, I won't think you're texting your mum or your dad or your friend or putting something on Facebook or anything like that. But please, I'd encourage you to take notes. You can re-listen to the podcast as well. But let's go with the main thing. You know, the main thing this year is that Jesus is still on the throne and he's still supreme. Do you know that Jesus has no rivals? He's unchallenged in his supremacy and priority. Do you know that? It's not a boxing match between Satan and Jesus. It's not bout for bout, round for round. It's not Rocky 45, him in a wheelchair, you know, being pulled in and the other guy in a Zimmer frame. It is literally Jesus wins. Do you understand that you're on the winning side? Yes? Do you understand that he reigns supreme? I'm not sure you're convinced, really. Do you understand that he reigns supreme? Do you understand that his plans for your life are good? Yes. Do you know that even in death, his plans are good? That is not an easy thing to say or to swallow. But even in death, his plans are good. Because I believe in my Bible, and he overcame death, didn't he? He defeated death. And that means for you and me that we will never die. Do you realize that? That you will never, ever die. You know, this body that added a few pounds, and as I'm jumping today, I can actually feel it going up and down my stomach. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've put on a little holiday weight, as they say in America. But this body will be replaced. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, his body was replaced. He had a new body. He literally just said, hey, I'm coming through the walls. Here I am. I'm done, you know. And your body will change, but you, as the person who you are, this person that they've created, Gaz and Leah and all these different people, you will still be alive. Do you understand that? You're going to live forever. And where the decisions we make here on earth and who we say Jesus is and the place we put him have a determination of where we're going to spend eternity. As much as that is a tough message to swallow, and we're not saying, hey, this is hellfire and brimstone, what we are saying, though, is that actually he's given us away with open arms, and he said, you know what, I want to live with you, I want to love you, and I want to be everything to you. He wants to be our everything. This year, I want to increase our amens. Please, can you go home and watch T.D. Jakes, you know? And Rachel, we're going to learn a little bit that thing when you're preaching, okay, and then we're going to stand up and we're going to like this, and then you're going to go amen, and then you're going to stand up and throw hankies and stuff like that. If not, I'm moving to a different part of the country where we have more black people. So Justin, I expect you to lead the way, okay? Good. Here we go. Okay. Jesus has no rivals. Do you know that there is coming a day where Christ will reign supreme, whether people like it or people don't like it? And that the important here is the word supremacy. Supremacy means holding the first place. Holding the first place. We're not thinking of supremacy as a doctrine over another, over one creed over another, or even a denomination. People said to me over Christmas, what denomination are you? I'm not really quite sure, to be honest with you. I'm a little confused. So if somebody can help me out with that, I'd like that. But I'm not sure. But you know what? It's not one denomination over another. It's actually one personality over another. It's the personality of him over the personality of me, self. One personality over another. Is he more important or am I more important? Am I going to put him first, or are my needs, my ideas, my wants, my desires, my practical things, my spirit, all these different things, are they more important? It becomes down to one personality over another. Is he king or a self king? He is the only one who has the right to occupy the first place in our lives. He has the right. Why? Because he made us. It gives him the right. He redeemed us and saved us. That gives him the right. And you know what? God the Father gave him that supremacy. So that gives him the right. But you know what? Right does not always mean reality. Right does not always mean a reality. Jesus is not always free to walk amongst in our lives, to exercise his right. For often our life is self, personal ambition, self-pleasure, and possessions. Wow. Building up to this Christmas, lots of people ask me, what do you want for Christmas? Not a bad question, it's a good question. And you know what? It's good to be precise with that. But sometimes I have to think, stop and think, my gosh, I want sometimes my possessions over the season of goodwill and giving. What on Christmas Day when I get down there, I sure as heck better open a certain amount of presents proportion to what I've given, because actually I feel a little bit hard done by if I haven't. And we've been taught some big lessons over this season, as we probably are every year, that it's not about my possessions. It's about what's in my heart and where I've placed Jesus. And he has a right to be first, because I gave him my life many years ago. Every one of us have given him our lives, probably in this building, many years ago. If you haven't, you'll have an opportunity a little bit later, or you can do it right now in your seat. But you've given him your life. But still in giving him your life, you've given him right, but you actually pull it back and say, you can't go there, but you can have this bit. My personality, Jesus, is going to rule here, and yours can have a bit of a reign over here. When Jesus is supreme in all our lives, the following three things are true. We love him with our whole being. I know that is not easy to do. We love him more than any other person or thing. The second thing is we have unquestioning obedience to him. Oh. And the third thing is we have complete submission. Not my will, but your will, God. When he's first in our lives, we're willing to serve him in the sphere of his choice. Not my choice, his choice. You know, when you serve God in the sphere of his choice, there is a flow that takes place. When you step outside of that sphere and try and serve him in areas that actually you're not gifted, you're not called for, maybe not for this season, maybe for later, there's a blockage that takes place. I know there are things that I try and pick up that actually I need to put down. That actually there are people far more equipped in this room to do. But there is a self in me that's saying, no, I need to do it, because if I do it, I am supreme. I reign. I make sure that everybody realizes that I am one of the leaders in the team. That's not what God has placed us here as a church. He says we are placed here to uplift one another, to encourage one another, to champion each other's cause. And that's looking at each other and calling the flame that is on the head, which they had at Pentecost. Why was it not in front of their face? Because when it's on their head, you actually can call out the gifting on each other. And to call it out and say, my gosh, God has placed this on your life. Come on, I want you to flow in that. But jealousy rises in us and say, oh man, if only I could do what they do. If only I could do a little bit. Why? When you do that, tiredness takes place. The burden gets too heavy and we grow weary in doing good. But when we don't, when we slip into the slipstream and the flow, and the flow only takes place when we come from a heart of rejoicing and thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit begins to flow, and actually we move into the place that God has called us to do, and there's freedom that takes place. We sing about freedom, and it's coming out of our ears. I don't want to sing about it. I want to experience it more in my life. But freedom means letting go of some things that are not mine to pick up. Amen? Disobedience is not really an option. But we look at obedience and we think, oh, what a word. We don't want to, we associate it with discipline and being belted and smacked. God doesn't want to belt and smack us, but he's got something for us, and it's in the obedience that we can inherit that and have that. God, what do you want me to do with my life this year? And he downloads it to us. No, that's not a good idea. I think I'm just going to add this little bit over here. I said, okay, I'm patient with you. You can add that little bit. You know, fear, you know, anxiety, they're not yours to carry. They're God's. Give them to him. Lay them down. This is not mine, God. Sometimes the things we are physically doing day to day, they're not yours to carry. They're somebody else's. But in the goodness of our heart, sometimes we think, we got to do. And actually, we end the place of burnout and weariness. But we're willing to serve him in a sphere of his choice. Sometimes to suffer for him. Should he will it? We don't live in a country really where we have to suffer for Jesus in many senses. You know, you can go around and talk about it. You get a bit of abuse. You might get a punch on the eye or in the arm, or maybe that should have been in the eye and on the arm. But you might do that, but you're not really going to get your head chopped off or your arm chopped off or, you know, or anything like that. But you know what? We settle then. we settle, just letting things around us in the spiritual just take place. Other religions come in and start to dominate, and it's not a war, but because we think, oh, I'll just sit and chill back and relax, and do you know what, I don't want to, let's not push it out too far, let's just be the nice people in people's lives. No, God's also calling us into people's lives to ask some serious questions. If we truly love people, we will want the best for them. And what is the best according to our Bibles is that they know Jesus. Because one day eternity will come. That is the reality. Eternity will come. And based on who we say Jesus is where we'll spend it. But that we should suffer for it. And in some cases, thank goodness, and I pray God this never comes to me, but that sometimes people will die for it. Indeed, our attitude being, yes, Father. Because in Matthew it says, for this is your good pleasure. Yes, Father. When we are earthly thinking people, when we think our years are 70, and if we add a few more to that, we're doing well, and we don't recognize that we're actually eternal people, we're kingdom people, what happens on earth becomes so important. So important I get what I want. So important I do what I do. Because we don't live with an eternal mindset. And when you live with an eternal mindset, you realize this is just part of the journey. This is just part of what we're going in life, what we're doing in life, where we're going to be in life. These people around us, they know Jesus. We're going to spend eternity together. But it is just part of a journey. And so do you know what? You'll never miss out. Because if God, how he describes heaven and the new earth is true, then, oh my gosh, it's going to be beyond anything we've ever experienced. Our relationships are going to be beyond anything that we've ever known or experienced. So we're not on a miss-out program. We're actually going from glory to glory. Things are going to get better. Things are only going to get better. You're not going to get to heaven and go, oh my gosh, what a disappointment. This is really not good. Please send me back. You're going to be like, wow, what a place to be. Have you ever thought, this is a stupid comment, but I've also often thought about, like, I wonder if anybody gets to heaven and goes, God, do you know what, I really want to just go back. Can I just, like, hang out back there rather? I think it's just overwhelming, the goodness of God and the awesomeness of God, that in my human head I think, let's go back. In my human head I think, if I ever went, I got to go back to my family. But something there is so great, so huge, so awesome, and you begin to see God's plans probably more clearly and all the different things, you think, wow, he's got everything in the palm of his hand. God, show me this year. Show me this year. You know, more ever than this year, I want us to walk as a people in a flow with a heart of thanksgiving and rejoicing. When we walk in a flow, do you know it's connected to the word dominion? Dominion. When I read that word, probably many of you can know where that comes from. It says in Genesis, to rule over the earth or exercise dominion. Sometimes we have the wrong idea of dominion. We think of these words in terms of maybe dominating or bossing people around. No, the true idea, and I wrote this down behind this, is that you invest your abilities to create value on this earth. To plant, to build, to write, to organize, to heal, to invent ways that bless people and cause God's kingdom to come on earth. I'll read it again. To invest your abilities to create value on the earth, to plant and to build, to write and organize, to heal and invent, to bless people and cause God's kingdom on earth to flourish. But that happens when we're in a flow. When we're in a flow. When we're in a flow, we can have dominion over the things God has said. Have dominion. Have dominion. Have dominion over marriage ministry. Have dominion over kids ministry. Have dominion over worship you bring in. Have dominion over what you're preaching. Have dominion over mission work. Because if you're called to mission work and you're called to other nations and you're in that flow, I tell you what, you're only going to flourish when you set foot on those other nations' grounds. If you're called to be in this community and you're called to, I don't know, go outside on a Friday night and hang out with those youngsters with a backpack on and a hot chocolate in it, I tell you what, when you walk out there, it's going to flow. It is going to absolutely flow. Sometimes, though, we've got to step into some things that we're not quite sure of in order to know that God has actually called us into him. It's not wrong to think, I'm going to have a little bit of a go here. I'm going to have a try because I'm not quite sure. I sure as heck know to step up here and sing is not what I'm called to do. I can have a go, but most of you will probably leave and the worship team will say, hang on a second. But I do know there's areas that I've been called to step into, that there's a little bit of fear inside of me. I'm not sure, but God said, no, I want you to step in this moment because actually you're going to flow in that area more in this season than you've ever flowed in anything else. Let's open our Bibles. Colossians chapter 1, and this is going to be our scripture for the next, I would say, probably 3 months maybe. We'll see how we go. There's a few other guest speakers coming in between, but we're all pretty much going to preach from here. This is the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, we read from verse 9 to 21, and I'm reading from the ESV if you've got that. But let me give you a brief summary. Paul was in prison at this moment, and he'd received some messages about the heresies that were taking place in the church there. Paul decided, I'm going to defend the faith by exalting the person of Jesus and clarifying the true doctrine of Jesus. You notice in Paul's life, he didn't come into places, even when there was a bit of a brothel going on in one, this big temple, and then basically just sex happening everywhere. He didn't walk in there and go, right, we need to sort this out. No, he went on this side of town, and he preached Jesus, and he preached his supremacy. And he preached his love, and he preached all these things, and he spoke to the people, and he touched their lives. And slowly the people moved from this to this. If you read in your history books, this temple became totally derelict. It almost fell to the ground because it became totally out of use. Why? Because people changed from here to here. Not because they had a prayer meeting and marched around these walls 7 times. We're going to bring this bad boy down. No, not because of that. But actually, they just preached what was in their hearts, what was revealed to them through Scripture, and what they truly knew through relationship. This year, let it be that we actually speak to people out of that relationship. We can focus on the issues. I hate Facebook when people moan. I really do. I don't unfriend, but I unfollow. Because I am sick and tired of people moaning on a social networking site when the church should be using that to uplift and build. I'm not saying you're not going through issues. I'm not saying I don't go through issues. But I am certainly not going to use a social media network to portray all my issues to the world. I'm actually going to come alongside my friend, alongside other leaders, and say, do you know, come along. Can you pray for me? Can you work this through with me? Not social networking, because what am I doing on social networking? I'm looking for sympathy. I'm looking for a like or a dislike. I wish they had that button sometimes. But I'm looking for a like. I dislike what you're putting down. Come on, we can use social networking as a beautiful tool, but let's use it to uplift, to encourage, and to edify. Let's use it that truth comes out of our mouth, not negativity, not smashing somebody over the back, not some sly comment on the thing. That's not what it was built. I don't think it was built for. It's like a stadium. Yeah, they play football in, but one day we're going to worship in them. They're built for football, but you know what? They're more built for the worship of God. More built for the worship of God. But there in Colossians, we see Paul doing exactly the same thing that he's done before. In chapter 1, if you want a quick summary, Jesus is exalted. In chapter 2, Christianity is exalted. In chapter 3 and 4, the union with Christ is exalted. Paul just goes through this systematic, exactly with the church, saying, hey, look at this, look at this, and look at this. But let's read these scriptures together, and I'll pull a few thoughts, and then we'll come to a close. Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 21. It's good to read our Bibles. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled, underline this in your Bible, with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. God wants us to bear fruit in every good work, and he's going to do it through us, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Do you know you're qualified? You're qualified to the inheritance of Jesus. You say, what inheritance? Please open your Bibles this year and discover what that is. Google it if you have to, because they've got it on there as well. But open it up and realize what the inheritance is. To share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Amen. And thank you, Jesus. And transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That deserves an amen. That deserves an amen, a hallelujah, a clap, or whatever else you got inside you. Because that says that we are no longer part of one kingdom. We are part of another kingdom. You have made a decision to say, God, my life does not want to dwell there. I want it to dwell here. And forever he has you in his hands. Isn't that incredible? Through the tough times, through the good times, through whatever the times are, he has got you in his hands. If we put our thoughts on those things, I tell you what, our lives would line up. Our behavior would line up. The pattern of our worlds would line up. But by the 15th of January, for many of this nation, they will resort back to the simple fact that, well, we just carry on doing the same thing and seeing the same results. Oh, we don't even have to go any further, but we're going to. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities. You want to know who's in charge? You got it here. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. He's not behind. He's not catching up. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Oh. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, that's me, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. I've never done anything evil in my life. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. And it goes on, and you read it when you get home. But I want you, if you don't know what to study, if you don't know what to look at, if you think, what am I going to do my devotional time on? What am I going to read? Please read this chapter. Please read this book, because we're going to pull so much from it. Get it in you. Get it over you. Get it. I want this revelation to become your revelation. What I'm going to show in you over these next few weeks, and other guys from the church are going to show in you, is going to be but a small part. And God wants to take these words, and he wants to enlighten it. He wants to light it up. He wants to make it alive in your life. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit presents the Son of God in all his towering supremacy, right there, right there. Jesus is unique in seven different ways. Anybody here says, well, what's the difference about Jesus? Here we go. He's the image of God. He's the firstborn over all creation. You can probably pull these from the scripture. You probably think, oh, yeah, I can read this. Image of God, the firstborn over all creation, creator of the universe, head of the church, firstborn from the dead. I'll just stop there for a moment. Oh, hang on. Didn't Lazarus rise from the dead, though, before Jesus did? Oh, I don't know. Didn't other people rise from the dead before Jesus did? Well, how can he be firstborn? If you actually read it, the whole thing of rising from the dead, Jesus was the first person to rise from the dead and dwell in what he would dwell in, the bodily form, forever and ever and ever. Lazarus, yes, he came back. But he still had to, at one day, his body will still need to be replaced. So when it talks there in the scripture about rising from the dead, the firstborn of rising from the dead, he died and he rose again to be in the form that he was going to be for eternity. You and me are not yet there. I have not yet got the body that God has promised to me, and it is a good body. I'm telling you, it's better than the one when I met you, Leah. And that was a good one then. Firstborn from the dead, the fullness of God. And the reconciler of all things. This is why he is sovereign king of the world, and he should be of our lives. The image of God, the firstborn of all creation, the creator of the universe, head of the church, firstborn from the dead, the fullness of God, and the reconciler of all things. Bible says he is the image of the invisible God. Image means more than just Jesus is like God. You know, we talk a lot about image, don't we? Wear these clothes, look like this. I went in Pull and Bear the other week over in Bristol because I think, oh, that's a nice shop. Their clothes were rubbish this time of the year. But anyway, that's the point. But they have an image. And we think if we dress like this, we've got an image. Do you know churches have images? I remember when we first met the Hillsong guys back a few years ago, and that they came with the tightest jeans I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, and there was an image. When I went up to Bradford one year, they were cowboys through and through. You had to have a big neck, thick-set arms, and you were in the team. That was what they... But there is image that we look at. We think, oh, we're going to be like them, you know? All of us probably dress in a certain image. No, I'm quite cool. Gazza, you know, he's getting there at times. Dylan, we're working on it, you know? But we all have different images. Sometimes we get to a certain age, we just can't be bothered, can we? We're just like, oh, whatever. I'm like that a little bit yesterday. I bought these, trouser things that Leah said are not so cool, and I was just outside and then walking around. People are looking at you funny, thinking, what are you wearing? You know? But there were a bunch of teenagers thinking, you are not cool whatsoever. Your image is terrible. But I'm a dad now. It's okay, you know? I got a wife already, you know? I don't have to be so cool anymore, you know? I actually shaved over Christmas. First time in this year, clean shaven. So I thought that was pretty good for my image, you know? Last time. But image is more than just, than Jesus is like God. He's the representative and the manifestation of God. Image does not just denote image, but also pattern. The original, which sets forth likeness or resemblance of God. Do you know he resembles and doesn't just represent? Romans 8, 29 and 1 Corinthians 15, 29. You can read them when you go home. He's sovereign, which means he's ultimate supreme ruler. He gives eternal life. I have no idea how to pronounce this word, and I did it on Google 6 times last night as the lady pronounced it to me. Omniscience. Somebody tell me how to pronounce that. So, thank you. Omniscience. Okay, I don't come from an English-speaking country. Give me a break. Knows everything. My native language is Zulu. Knows everything. Omnipotence, great supreme power. Immutability, unchanging. And he's God himself. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. All those things. He doesn't just resemble. He doesn't just think, oh, I'm just going to be a bit like Jesus. Or a bit like God, sorry. He is. He is him. He is everything. The fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. He's the eternal image of him. You know, this year I want to know him more. I want to read about him more. I want to pray. I want to spend time. I want to communicate with him more. I want to build my relationship with him. You know, the Son is the only person to come as a manifested a person in the Trinity. He came from heaven to earth and said, this is me. He's the physicalness of God. God is perfectly seen in Jesus. You take Jesus out of the Bible, and what have we got? We got a theme really without a plot. We've got, take him out of some other things, we've got music without harmony. We've got a car without a motor. We've got existence with really no life. What is the point of life without Jesus? Where's he going to sit this year in our lives? And he will take a place. He will take a place. It says he's firstborn over all creation. This is not really a statement about Christmas and say, well, Jesus came as a baby. He's not talking about that, firstborn of all creation. It means before that even happened, he existed. Have you ever sat and thought about that for a moment? Sometimes we begin and equate Jesus' life with when he came as a baby and died at 33, and that was his life. But he existed before time, before anything. He wasn't created either. He is it. Like, he existed, and you think, well, who started it and who's going to finish it? Because we are very much time-thinking people. Beginning of the day, ending the day, season and things like that. That's fine, but God exists outside of time. He exists because, guess what? He is. He is everything. Nowhere does the Bible teach that Jesus began at Bethlehem. I know we celebrate his birth there. His physical being began there, but not his person. I'm going to bring this to a close now. The Bible doesn't. The Bible teaches us all that he's everlasting. You can read that in Micah chapter 5, 2. The Bible says, and we sing about this, it says, a child is born. But it's not a child is given, it's a son is given. Big difference. Child is born, but a son is given. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. You know who the Word is? It's Jesus. The Word was with God in the beginning. It says it again, just making sure we remember. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. It's like you've got to remind us again. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created without him knowing that has been created. What a beautiful scripture. He existed before creation. It's not talking about his birth, this passage, but his existence as God himself. Jesus is supreme. Firstborn means he's got first priority over creation. He preceded creation. He is sovereign over it. In the Old Testament, firstborn was used to designate the Messiah. Jesus is eternal. It's the Father's heart. You see the Father's heart through Jesus. He was the firstborn. He's come to reign supreme in our lives. And he asks us today, and he stands before us in those first verses, right at the beginning, and right at the beginning of 2016, and he said, what place are you going to give me in your life? He has a right in our lives to first place. He has a right to rule and reign over everything. He has a right to dwell in our lives 24/7. He has a right to walk in amongst the rooms of our life and expose things and open things up and challenge us and ask us to grow in that. He has a right. But we can deny him that right. We can say, Jesus, you stop there and you come no further. You can be in this region. You can even be in my presence. But that's as good as it goes. You can come and be in my house, but please don't make it your home. Please just leave at the end of the day when we're finished. I don't want you to sleep over. I don't want us to hang out in other times. I just want you to come in when I need you. Jesus, I want you to be my slot machine. I'll stick the coins in. I'll pull the handles, and please pop up 3 hearts at the right time or 3 bank balances or whatever it is, because at that moment then, you know, our relationship is good. But in order to grow into everything that God wants us to grow, for those of you who've had children, in order for your children to grow and you want the best for them, is it true that sometimes I would suggest you've had to challenge them and ask them questions about different things in your life? Yes? Yeah. Sometimes you've had to sit them on a thinking step. Sometimes for a minute, sometimes for longer than a minute. You know, you've had to sit them there. And sometimes I take my son or my daughter or we try and do this and you sit them on the thinking step and the next thing they slide down the thinking step and just lie on the floor. And you go back and in that moment your frustration levels are rising and you have to pick them up and you say, sit on the thinking step. By the time this is the 5th time over, you're not saying sit on the thing. You will sit on the thinking step. Now, thank goodness I am not Jesus because I don't think he would react in a way. But sometimes we have to sit and we have to think. And what a great time to sit on the thinking step, but at the beginning of 2016, saying, what am I going to do? Because if we spend time on the thinking step, thinking, and think, okay, actually, we've spent time preparing for what's going to take place this year and that. The supremacy of Christ does not need to exist until January the 15th. It doesn't need to just end in January and then we continue normal life in February. Actually, if we're going to make this into part of our lives, into actually the reality of our lives, day by day, we're going to have to get up and renew our minds and say, God, I am putting this time aside purposely for you and me to dwell together. Otherwise, the patterns of this world will just take over. They will literally just take over. And do you know what? Some of them are not bad things. They are good things. Good things. Good things that we all want to do, all want to be a part of. And there are seasons and moments in our life. But I'm asking you this year. I'm asking us. I'm asking me. I'm asking every single person. Say, please let's put Jesus where he's meant to be. Please let him rule and reign over everything.
Thanks for joining with us today. We pray that you are challenged and encouraged by what you've heard. See you soon.